Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
What's going down?
Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new episode of the What's Going Down podcast. Almost said power slam there. My name is Kenny McIntosh, joined as always by Mr. Finlay Martin. Finn, how are you this fine Tuesday?
Kenny, I'm doing all right. Yeah, not bad. How about yourself?
I'm good. We announced the Trish Stratus shows last night and very positive reaction to the shows. Lots of people very excited and, you know, we were going to do a show with Trish in 2020 in April of 2020, I think it was, and obviously we had to cancel that show because of COVID, but now we get to bring her to London and also bring her to Glasgow while she's over for the For the Love Wrestling convention in Manchester. So yeah, I feel excited. You know, we get Sergeant Slaughter at the end of February, Trish at the beginning of March, and yeah, they're two people who I think are going to be pretty interesting people to talk to on stage. So
yeah, but Kenny, no date in Lancaster. I mean, no, I can't believe it.
I know. I mean, I've got everybody torqueeing on at me. Everybody. It's funny. Yeah. I mean, you're always going to get them. You're always going to get the people who, you know, if we could go everywhere, we would. Yeah. It's funny, like, we did, I think, because obviously we did 5 nights with Bischoff and we did 5 nights with Kurt Angle. And 5 nights tends to be the max that you can really do and have it be, because by night five, you're kind of, as a crew, you're kind of at the end of your energy levels.
Yeah.
But Bischoff, we were really lucky because Bischoff, you kind of, there's enough for him to talk about that you could do 5 nights. But there's a lot of people who I just don't think we'd be able to get 5 nights out of. But I mean, I think Trish, I would love to have done 3 with Trish, but you know, 2 is all we've got for this one. I'm looking forward to that. And
Obviously she's doing the For the Love of Wrestling convention, isn't she?
Yes, she's doing that on the Saturday and the Sunday, so we're doing the Monday. But I mean, there's loads of stuff when you think about it. There's not really anywhere where she has sat down and went through her career. And there's a lot of interesting stuff, and I'm going to have to be on my A game about how to tackle certain aspects, like, you know, the Vince McMahon barking like a dog segment. You know, that's obviously one that you do want to talk about and get her take on it, but you have to kind of be quite
Diplomatic
and strategic about how you bring that up so that you're not being seen to be. And so it's funny, I'll say this on air, but I told you off air some of the feedback we'd got to the announcement.
And
And one person who had he had like tweeted us or something, and I hadn't seen it because it actually came up as like a, I think it had been like a spam one. It had like been like X or Twitter had put it through as spam, so I hadn't seen it. And it was somebody who was accusing us of using a photo of Trish before she'd had her implants reduced, and that we were trying to overly sexualize her for the poster. And I didn't quite have the heart to break it to the guy that I was sent those images by Trish's team to put up, and they are not in any way overly sexualized from, you know, stuff that she has worn. You know, we've not got her from, you know, Diva's postcard from the Caribbean on the poster.
Exactly.
Full bikini, but...
You know, and some of the people out there they use photos from like 35 years ago, don't they?
I know. Well, I mean, I feel like you're coming for me there just because I'm using a Sergeant Slaughter photo from 1991. I'll not have anything. He looked great in 1991, did Sarge? You know, as long as he's got the shades and the hat on, I don't think people will notice the difference.
Well, I agree.
Did you see the tweet that Sergeant Slaughter sent me last week?
No, I did not.
So we got this tweet, and he said, and it was a photo of a coin, and he said to me, "You get this coin if you survive the Cobra Clutch."
I did see it, Kenny. Yes, I did.
So I assume that at some point I'm going to be put in the Cobra Clutch by Sergeant Slaughter. But do you know what? If I get a coin for it, I'll do it. You know, he's given me the incentive to sell, take the bump. I
tried a place in your massive, epic merchandise collection.
I know. Although I don't have as much... Anyway, my merchandise collection is not what people are here to listen to. You're here to listen to us talk about the wrestling, what's going on. We are continuing the road to the Royal Rumble. Let's start with SmackDown, Finn. We... had SmackDown was obviously the night we were going to find out who was going to be taking on Roman Reigns at the Royal Rumble. It was Randy Orton, AJ Styles, and LA Knight in the main event. Big three-way main event that got, you know, a fair amount of time on the show. And in the end, the Bloodline came in to sort of attack everyone and lay them all out so that there would be no opponent for Roman. And then Nick Aldis pulled Paul Heyman aside at ringside and said, "Tell your client that he's earned a fatal four-way match at the Royal Rumble," and that was the end. What did you make of the way they got to the multi-man match? I don't want to say that I suggested, but I mean, I did throw it out there a few weeks ago as a potential option, and I think this is going to be a more interesting one than if they'd just gone down the Orton and Reigns route. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree, and it means they can do a finish that's going to presumably Styles will be your designated jobber in the match.
Yeah, because I heard the scuttlebutt that I'd heard was that, you know, they don't really want to job Randy Orton out straight away, and that makes sense because he's a big star, and why would you sort of take away a potential feud that you could do later in the year?
Absolutely. I mean, LA Knight obviously lost at Crown Jewel, and they think they've still got something in him, so by booking this four-way match, it means that AJ Styles' weak link, he can do the job after all sorts of skullduggery and, you know, extracurricular activities involving all sorts of people. But I mean, I enjoyed the match. I actually thought Styles looked the sharpest he has in this match in probably a year, if not longer. I think the new character suits him, and he was wrestling with a real purpose and great vigor here. But mind you, we've got to point this out. You know, I've been a long time fan of Styles' in-ring work, but he did screw up here, Kenny. When he did the 450, he came down with his knee on LA Knight's head and busted him open hard way. And I, you know, they showed it on replay, and I was thinking, how hard has Styles just nailed Knight? I don't think he suffered a concussion, but he could have done. That could have been really bad. And that was it's very unusual for Styles to injure anyone in a match, isn't it?
Yeah, he's not known for that. I mean, he is just back, so maybe you kind of have to give him the benefit of the doubt of, you know, the rust. But I mean, it's a pretty big mistake to make in terms of the match. You know, it was a big match on TV, so it's one that people were going to be watching. So very unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, Knight appeared to be fine afterwards. I mean, Styles, actually, to his credit, I mean, obviously he asked Knight if he was okay, and sure, Knight told him he was. And then Styles started working over the accidental, you know, cut the accidental blood loss, which made sense psychological standpoint. And Knight was able to break up the RKO cover by Orton on Styles. So that was a really good false finish. And that was the cue for Roman Reigns, Solo Sikoa, Paul Heyman, Jimmy to come out and attack everyone. And they blasted all three members of the match, beat them to hell to hell. This all took place in front of Nick Aldis, who watched the entire match from ringside. And then, yeah, it was kind of curious, wasn't it? The way they handled the announcement from Aldis, because it wasn't made to the crowd. Maybe it was after the show went off the air. I'm not sure if it was. Presumably it was. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe they'll just leave that for SmackDown this week. But yeah, he said to Paul Heyman at ringside, and the camera, you know, moved in close so it could pick up, the microphone would pick up what Aldis said to Heyman, and said, you know, congratulations. You can congratulate Roman Reigns. He's earned himself a four-way match at Royal Rumble. So, yeah, I mean, you know, you suggested this, Kenny. You thought this would be a good idea, and I agree. I think it is a good idea because it protects Orton, it protects Knight, and it'll even protect Styles if he is the one that does the job, which I'm sure he will be. But there's all sorts of ways you can arrive at that finish without damaging Styles. And I think Styles has been revived by this character. You know, and apart from the in-ring accident, I thought he entered a hell of a performance here. I mean, he was the engine of this match, in my opinion.
Yeah, and it was a good TV main event. I think that it breaks up the formula that we've kind of complained about on the podcast of the Roman Reigns match, because he's not been, as far as I'm aware, I can't think of any Roman Reigns multi-man, like three-way or four-way matches.
Didn't he have a match with Edge and Daniel Bryan?
Yeah, WrestleMania 2021. So that'll be almost 3 years since that's happened.
Yeah, that's quite
I think he won the title as well. Did he not win the title on a triple threat with Bray Wyatt and Braun Strowman?
I think he might have done, yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, you know, almost 3 years ago.
That rings a bell. He did, yeah. I'm sure he did do.
So, long time. But let's talk elsewhere on the show. We had the SmackDown debut of Tyler Bate, who teamed up with Butch to take on Pretty Deadly. Bate and Butch got the win here. What did you think? And what did you think of the debut? And also, what do you make of Tyler Bate's chances on SmackDown?
Well, I mean, I've long been a fan of Tyler Bates, and you know, he was obviously, you know, worked for Progress and was a big part of the, you know, big British resurrection in the mid 2010s. Was the first UK champ at the, you know, famous tournament in Blackpool that you were at, right, Kenny?
Yes, yeah, he was a big hit that night.
He was a big hit there. So, I mean, that old tournament was a huge hit. And, you know, I thought he really progressed. He was, I mean, even then he was really good. And he's only gone from strength to strength since. I remember last year someone wrote into Q&A, it could have been the year before, actually, about Tyler Bate. And I said that I thought he had that Davey Boy Smith regular bloke, sort of likability, which Davey Boy Smith had. And that's almost impossible to manufacture. I mean, you either have that or you don't. And that was a big part of Davey Boy Smith's appeal, that he was very relatable to the average person and to kids. Mm-hmm. And I think Tyler Bate could fill that void, which still exists, even though there's many British stars and European stars in WWE now. I think there is a spot there for someone like a Tyler Bate to become a big star in the system. I mean, he did his act. You know, he's got lots of moves which no one else does. Some from, you know, the old days of British wrestling that he's modified and updated. And the whole match was about complimenting him. I mean, Pretty Deadly were just there to put Tyler Bate over in this match. They had basically no shine spots at all. They had a little bit of offense, but this was all about Tyler. And I thought he looked really good out there, actually. And this was a big crowd. It was sold out in Vancouver. A lot of pressure, and he does a lot of kind of tricky things in the match. It sort of actually started badly. If you notice, Kenny, when he threw his towel at the rope and it missed. And I bet he was thinking, oh my God, you know, is this an omen? You know, is this match going to be filled with blown spots? I've blown a towel spot. So, you know, I thought he did really well. He scored the pin in the end. And really good debut in the audience. I think the audience really got into him when he was doing his sort of high impact spots rather than his sort of old school British wrestling spots. But yeah, I thought it was you know, an excellent debut actually. So I feel very hopeful for his future. I hope they don't lose interest in him like they did with Cameron Grimes and Grayson Waller and others. Sorry, admittedly, Grayson Waller and Cameron Grimes were on the show. Well, you get the point I'm making.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I hope that he. I think it's going to be a bit of an uphill climb for him to be a top guy. But I think that he can definitely do well on SmackDown. I think that I'm curious why they've still not had Butch go back to the Pete Dunne name. I would have thought that would have been something he would have done by now.
Yeah,
especially under Triple H. But maybe that's something that they're gonna. You know, it was when they were holding their, you know, sort of celebrating together at the end, Butch and Tyler Bate, that it kind of reminded me of that, you know, epic match they had in Chicago in 2017, their big match at TakeOver. So, you know, they can definitely do, if they're given the time in the ring, they can have great matches. But as we know from people who are over in wrestling, there needs to be an element of character, there needs to be an element of something else. And that's the thing I think Tyler Bates always, I mean, I think funnily enough, if it was a different time in Mustache Mountain, if you know, today's climate of WWE was 2017, I think they would have done great in the main roster as a tag team.
Yeah.
But obviously, yeah, you know, we're 7 years down the line, Trent Seven's older and moved on, so he'll need to find his next thing, Tyler. So we'll see. We also had on the show Kevin Owens beating Santos Escobar in the finals of the United States title tournament. So he's going to go out to face Logan Paul at the Royal Rumble. Logan Paul was on commentary during the match, and they had a little thing at the end where Logan Paul approached Kevin Owens and got hit in the mouth as cast, and Owens is celebrating. So they're going to have their match at the Royal Rumble. And, you know, I don't think this was really a shock that Owens was the one to get the win here. It was kind of the foregone conclusion, I think, given that, you know, Logan Paul's the opponent.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you know, Paul had been mocking Kevin Owens. Owens is a much better fit as an opponent to promote this match. Obviously, Santos Escobar is a heel, as is Logan Paul. So, I mean, I'm not sure if that really would have worked. You know, Owens is making a lot of money. He needs to be, you know, booked in matches that matter. We know also as well that Santos Escobar is heading towards a match with Rey Mysterio. So, you know, why would he have the match with Logan Paul? It just wouldn't have really made any sense. And I think Owens had to score the pin here. I mean, it was a long match. It was a competitive match. I thought they did really well together here. And the audience were into it from the start. Angel and Humberto were out with Escobar, and they were wiped out by Cruz del Toro and Joaquin Wild. And that's going to lead to a match on this week's SmackDown, isn't it, Kenny? Between...
Yeah.
Is it? Yeah, it's a tag match. Yeah, tag match on this week's SmackDown.
Yeah,
SmackDown.
So that'll be the follow-up. So, yeah, I mean, it's keep things rolling.
Yeah, I mean, there's some big moves here. I mean, Escobar kicked out of a rolling senton off the middle rope. But in the end, you know, he scored the pin. And, you know, he scored the pin. It was, you know, a decisive win at the end there. And as you said, Logan Paul came into the ring after he'd been commentating on the match. And he started mouthing off to Owens. And Owens silenced him with a solid forearm shot to the jaw, which Paul sold like a champ. He fell down and Owens walked off. And yeah, all made sense to me, Kenny. All made sense to me.
So just two other things from SmackDown before we move on to Raw. I do want to give some props to Mishin, who had the match with Io Sky. And when this match started, I was kind of dreading it, to be honest, because Mishin just doesn't feel like a character that's very over. But I actually thought they did a decent job. And I thought the styles clash that Mishin did off the second rope looked really good.
Yeah, he did, but I mean, we've never seen. I don't think we've seen that before in WWE.
No, we've not.
We've definitely seen it in other promotions, but I don't think we've ever seen it in WWE. And when that was done for the first time, that should have been a finish. I mean, okay, Io Sky didn't kick out of it; she had to grab the rope to break the referee's count. But when you're going to do a move of that, you know, a move like that, that's an original, at least in WWE, it should be the finish. It shouldn't just be, you know, a transition spot to the next spot, to me.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. I mean, that's fair. But I mean, overall, I thought that they did a good job of the match when I, you know, had pretty much no expectations of it going in. So,
yeah, I mean, it was okay. I mean, there was some, you know, some hesitation there. I thought it really heated up at the end. In the end, Sky won with a over the moon soul. I mean, it was, you know, there was some hesitation. It was beaten in places. You know, I felt like they probably did too much and didn't sell enough on the moves that they did do. But I'm with you. Yeah, it was her biggest match, Mishin's biggest match to date in WWE. And it felt like a match that mattered, not just another filler match, which is what she normally participates in or had previously participated in. Unfortunately, this felt meaningful, and yeah, hopefully it'll lead to something for her. But I mean, they've got to get behind her in terms of a character, which they've never done. They've never really given a chance. We still don't really know who she is.
Nope.
After all these years.
Yeah, and we should know more about her by now, and that's something that they need to work on. For sure.
Yeah.
And we should mention Paul Heyman quickly. He did respond to The Rock and said that, you know, The Rock has not been invited to a dinner of relevancy, which I guess is maybe a segment we've got coming up at some point soon. And yeah, I mean, he kind of responded here. I mean, the thing with Heyman is Heyman obviously is an amazing talker, an amazing promo, but I do feel a bit like Heyman's kind of a bit on autopilot at the moment. I don't feel like we're getting anything that's that great out of him. So I hope that as the WrestleMania season loads in and whatever Roman Reigns is going to be involved in, let's shake Paul Heyman up a little bit, because I'm ready to see him do something that's memorable again, because I just don't feel like we've seen that in a while.
No, I agree. I mean, he's done some excellent, you know, to me, he's, you know, the greatest manager of all time, you know, because he's just been doing it for so long. And, you know, he was good here, you know, using the phrase, as you said, dinner of relevancy. Rock had not been invited by Reigns to one of these, nor would he be, according to Heyman. And then Heyman brought up Cody Rhodes and CM Punk and others. And Heyman said, you know, there wasn't one man on the face of the planet who could beat Roman Reigns, which was almost like, you know, a setup for the main event. You know, it's like, and I'm sure they'll acknowledge what Heyman said on last week's SmackDown, on this week's SmackDown. It's like Heyman said there wasn't one man on the face of the planet who could beat Roman Reigns, but maybe three men can, you know, in a fatal four-way. Maybe those odds will be stacked against Reigns. You know, they do those, you know, the mathematics when it comes to fatal four-ways. You've only got a 1 in 4 chance of winning. You know, that one, the old chestnut they bring up. So I think that will be acknowledged this week, what Heyman said last week about there wasn't one man on the planet who could beat him, but here we are. Reigns is up against three men, so maybe he will lose the belt this time. Maybe Royal Rumble will mark the end of Reigns' epic title reign. But I'm with you about Heyman. There's a lot of original stuff he could still be doing. You know, I don't want to go over it again, but here I am, I'm going to. Had Lesnar joined the squad last year, could you imagine, you know, the fun they would have had if Lesnar had formed this uneasy alliance with Reigns, with Heyman in the middle? I mean, that would have just been, you know, it would have been weekly, episodic, must-see TV with, like, something new, almost, not every week, because Lesnar wouldn't have been there every week, and Reigns wouldn't have been either. But Heyman could have been the guy just holding it all together and prolonging the storyline. Mm-hmm. And there was so much they could have done with that.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to... the last thing, sorry, from SmackDown was we did have the Street Profits and Bobby Lashley coming out. Bobby Lashley talked about how 2023 was one of the toughest years of his career. And we ended up getting a video for Karrion Kross. And we ended up getting the debut of a new faction with Karrion Kross, Scarlett, AOP, and Paul Ellering, who took out the now babyface Street Profits and Lashley. How are you feeling about this new faction and their chances?
I mean, Kenny, to me, this promises to be about as exciting as Drizzle. You know, and like Drizzle, this faction will be nothing more than a nuisance.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When AOP turned up, I turned to my other half and said, do you remember when they were going to run some shows in Nottingham on pay-per-view 2 years ago?
I don't know why I'm laughing at that, other than, I mean, yeah, well, we talked about it at the time, and they didn't run any shows.
No.
Of course they didn't.
No, but I mean, that, you know, that's the memory that I have of that. I like AOP as a team. I think they're pretty good. I think Karrion Kross is a bit as exciting as a lamppost. And that's me being offensive to lampposts.
He's a lost cause. I mean, it's just amazing to me that Scarlett, looking like she does, is as unover as she is. And it's because she's associated with Karrion Kross. And
do you know, at this stage, they'd be best having Scarlett and Karrion Kross do a carbon copy of Sable and Mark Merrill in the hopes they might get Scarlett over.
Yeah.
And just sacrifice Karrion Kross to her. Because they'll make more money with her than they will with him.
Oh, I mean, go back and watch the Halloween Havoc specials from NXT last year. She was so over. I mean, okay, yeah, she was doing the cosplay in, you know, and it was a different environment, but people want to like her. And when she's associated with Cross, because Cross is such a source of tedium, you know, she's just boring by association. And you're right, they need to do a split because Cross is a lost cause. I mean, you could see he's got no confidence at all in anything that he does. Everything he does is kind of half speed. And in order for that character to work, he's got to be a devastating, you know, kind of killer heel, hasn't he? He's got to go out there and strike. You know, he's got to, like, put people down and, you know, do devastating moves. And everything looks rather limp and half-hearted. I mean, he's just doomed. And, you know, I've got no faith at all in this faction. None.
That's a real answer. Well, let's move on to Raw, where there's a lot to talk about. We opened the show with Drew McIntyre in a promo battle with CM Punk. And, I mean, Drew McIntyre held his own and then some against Punk. I mean, my favourite line was, when the going gets tough, Punk gets going. I mean, what a line, Finn.
I mean, Kenny, I was watching this and I was thinking, oh my God, if this took place in AEW, if this had happened in AEW, right now we would have been talking, oh, there's a big fight backstage, someone's quit, you know, Tony Khan's like, you know, doesn't know what to do again. It's chaos. And, you know, it would, because it almost seemed like Drew, I'm sure he didn't, but it almost seemed like Drew went into business for himself there. And Punk was totally thrown off his game there for a few seconds. And you could see he was like, oh no, this guy's beating me. And I think Punk was more inspired and motivated by it rather than, you know, wounded, you know, or, you know, upset. And it did, I think, you know, provoke him to come up and finish strong on his promo, which he did. But there was a couple of moments there in, you know, about halfway point where it looked to me like, wow, Drew has skewered CM Punk here. CM Punk's in trouble here. It looks like he's about to just like drop the mic, not as in a mic drop, but just put the mic down and humbly walk backstage in defeat. So it was, yeah, hell of a performance here by Drew. Hopefully backstage they were all like, you know, laughing, cutting up backstage and just laughing at, you know, how well Drew had done and how Drew had put Punk on the spot, and it wasn't like a source of tension. We haven't heard that there were any problems backstage, and I'm sure there wasn't. But yeah, this was quite a night for Drew McIntyre. He really asserted himself on the mic there, and I bet a lot of people I'm sure most people felt like Drew was really good on the mic, because he's done tons of mic work, especially over the last year. But this was like one of those nights where you thought, this guy's good. This guy's actually better than I thought he was, because he's put CM Punk in his place, at least temporarily.
Yeah, it was magic. It was magic to watch. And the thing is, we're in this weird spot where, as far as we know, McIntyre has still not re-signed with WWE. There's no story that's come out that says he has. I've not asked them, but I've asked around, and nobody seems to know for a fact that he's re-signed. But I mean, to have someone who's not re-signed be in such a prominent position and then doing this, you know, and it's like every week we're seeing Drew McIntyre go, here's what I'm worth. Here's what I'm worth, you know, constantly. Yeah. And, you know, it's getting to a point before, when it first came out, Drew was kind of thinking about leaving. I was kind of going, oh, you know, they could probably do well without him. They don't really need him. And now I'm kind of going, keep this guy. Like, this guy is not someone who should be a mid-carder. This is a top guy who can have great matches with top guys. Now we see he can go toe-to-toe with the best promo guys. I mean, you can't manufacture that kind of level. And they've put so much into him as well that I think it would be a big mistake for them to not. If he wants a lot of money, give him a lot of money. He's worth it.
WWE would be utter imbeciles to let him go. Yeah. You know, you've got the WWE can afford to pay him. Oh, okay, you've got obviously a salary structure and you don't want to upset that. But we know Charlotte Flair's just received a pay rise. When she's, you know, back on the road, she'll be getting driven from town to town in her own bus. If Charlotte Flair's worth her own bus, Drew McIntyre sure as hell is, based on what he's brought to Raw in his matches with Seth Rollins, she was Crown Jewel, wasn't he, and Raw with Seth Rollins, and certainly what he did here against CM Punk. Yeah, I mean, they'd be fools to let him go.
And from all that I know about Drew and all the times I've spoken to him and kind of been around him and stuff, he's not the kind of guy who's going to be like, I want $20 million. You know, he's not going to be pie in the sky. You know, he's going to be somebody who wants an increase for what he's done and the work that he's put in. And yeah, I don't think he is someone who, if they re-sign him, should be a level below Punk, Cody, Seth and all that. They should put him on that level as well. Have him up there.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't agree more. I mean, if Cody does become champ this year, hopefully he will, Drew's somebody who could have a 2 or 3 premium live event program with him. He's somebody you can make him champion again. He could absolutely be champion again. He could, you know, head his own faction, something he hasn't done, well, not since the glory days of 3MB anyway.
The glory days of 3. But also, you know, we talked on the podcast last summer about how we were kind of championing the idea of Finn Balor getting like a one PLE run with a belt.
Yeah.
And I mean, Drew is someone who, you know, if Cody could drop the belt to Drew, if Drew gets a faction for a month at some point down the line, and then Cody wins it back from him, you don't need to have somebody have the belt for 2 years all the time. You know, make people feel like anything can happen, that titles can change hands.
Well, especially after the Roman Reigns reign of literally years. Yeah. I mean, I think when Cody becomes champ, presumably he will become champ at some point this year, it's just like he can drop the belt after 2 months and then or 3 or 4 months or whatever, maybe not after 2 months, but after 4 or 5 months and then regain it. Because, you know, that would be very different from what Reigns has done. And it's not, I can't imagine they're going to say, right, Cody, you're going to break Hulk Hogan's record. You're going to be champ for 4 years. So, I mean, I just don't see that happening. So, and that would just make things more interesting as well. If the big belt was changing hands, you know, not, you know, like it did back in 99, when it was sometimes changing hands a few times, you know, more than once a month, but at least, you know, a few times per year.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. Elsewhere on Raw, we also had what was I going to talk about next? We had a Nia Jax interview that I thought was pretty interesting, where she came out and obviously she beat Becky Lynch last week, and Rhea Ripley came out and they had a back and forth, and Nia was acting like Rhea's scared of Nia, and Nia said she's going to win the Rumble to get her shot at her. And, you know, we kind of thought this might be the Rumble match, but it seems like they're not doing it here. But I thought they did pretty well here in kind of putting together the segment and made me want to see the match. But I mean, what do you think what's the idea then, if it's not going to be Rhea and Nia at the Rumble?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe Rhea's not defending the belt at the Royal Rumble. I mean, Ripley said to Nia, yeah, you beat Becky Lynch last week, and that was impressive, but she's not Rhea bloody Ripley. So, I mean, apologies for the accent there. Accents are not really my thing, Kenny. I don't know why I attempted that one. So there was an acknowledgement there that Nia had beaten Becky Lynch, and Rhea was saying, yeah, impressive, but she's not me. Because I've always thought that it's going to be Rhea versus Becky Lynch at WrestleMania. To me, it has to be. Yeah. I don't think Ripley versus Nia is WrestleMania worthy. Although I'm pleased that Nia Jax, even though I knocked her many times in a previous run, I'm really pleased that she's come back. You know, she's lost weight. You know, she's ready to go. You know, she's dedicated. I think she's somebody who's really good as a heel. I think she's one of the, I'll say she's the best heel in the business. But what I like about her is that she wants to be booed. She really yes. likes that people don't like her. You know, and some heels actually secretly want to be liked, don't they? And yeah. You think, well, you're supposed to be a heel. You're not supposed to be doing things that pop the crowd. You're supposed to be doing things that annoy the crowd, you know, and that drive the crowd completely crazy. You know, we'll talk about, I'm sure, Ludwig Kaiser in a moment. And yeah, I think Nia is a really, really good heel, because she understands what her job description is and she does not deviate from it. And I thought Rhea was really good here as well, because she sold for Nia Jax here and she let Nia shine in this segment, and that was the whole purpose of it. And at the end, we were actually left with more questions than answers. Don't like that phrase, Kenny. People use that phrase all the time and I don't like it. But I'm going to use it here anyway.
You just be a big old hypocrite. That's fine. Don't you worry. It's a safe space. That's what they say these days. You want to say something, it's a safe space. But I mean, I guess because the question is, what we thought before was the Elimination Chamber, it was probably going to be Becky and Nia, and then the winner gets Rhea. I mean, maybe that's still what they're going to do. Maybe that's plan.
Yeah, because Lynch had mentioned earlier, didn't she? I mean, it seemed like they were setting up Becky Lynch versus Nia as the final two in the Rumble, didn't it?
Yes, it did. And I guess that kind of makes sense. And then, you know, maybe Becky, you know, the old adage of Becky puts her title shot on the line against Nia or something. You could do that.
Yeah, but, yeah. That old chestnut. That's the second time I've used that phrase in this podcast.
The old chestnut.
I'm already recycling.
Look, Finn, you've been around for a long time. You can't keep doing new content all the time. You got to give them a golden oldie at some point. You can't always do original content.
Well, that's it. I mean, everything's borrowed or stolen, isn't it? Let's be honest.
Exactly. We also had on Raw Caden Carter and Katana Chance beating Piper Niven and Chelsea Green for the women's tag titles. But, I mean, this match was a bit better than the match where they won the titles. So is a slight improvement worth mentioning?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they just got to... I mean, Caden Carter and Katana Chance have just... We know they're going to be facing Asuka and Kairi Sane soon, because Bayley mentioned that on SmackDown. So we know that match is coming, and in some ways they're better off, certainly for Chance and Carter, they're better off if the match doesn't take place for a while, because we know who's going to win that one. But I think Chance and Carter, you know, are a good team. Chelsea Green and Piper Niven really aren't. And I think they made the best of it. And there was actually, you know, quite a lot of interest in this match, which there usually isn't. And there were a few believable near falls. Green was pinned after Piper Niven had accidentally splashed her. That spot actually she did the Vader bomb splash in the corner. That was probably the least believable part of the match, sadly. But in the end, yeah, Chance and Carter won. And I think that was the right outcome. I think they were likable pairing, and I think with better opposition, I think they could be, you know, a team that people would really believe in, but they just need some better opponents. And we should mention that while the match was in progress, other members of the women roster were watching from backstage, and they showed them watching from backstage. So yeah, not sure who's going to step up to face them next. Hopefully it won't be Natalya and Tegan Nox.
I can't handle it.
But, I mean, I think if they had some, you know, really compatible opposition, Chance and Carter, and really sizzled out there, I think the audience would, I think they would get over a lot more than they currently are. And you know, as much as I would like to see Asuka and Kairi Sane become champs, because I think they could do a lot with the belts, because they're bigger stars. You know, give Karen a chance. You know, give him a few more weeks as champs before you take the belts off him.
Yeah, I would agree. Elsewhere on Raw, we should give mention to R-Truth and this video package, where he talks about being born in North Carolina. They show this dramatization photo of a doctor with a baby that we're meant to believe is R-Truth. And he goes on, and there's like various things. He talks about himself being the Judgment Day, and it's all superimposed photos of him in scenarios. And then they take the old Judgment Day in your house cover of the VHS from Undertaker and Kane and put Truth's head on it. But the one that killed me the most, because I had to like watch it twice to try and get what he was saying. He said, "Oh, and it was great to get to know Tom and Nick Mysterio, but I've not met Nick yet." And I was like, "Oh, it's Dominic. They call him Dom, so he thinks Dom is Tom, and then Nick is someone else." I mean, it's tough to make that sort of stuff funny, but he's so good at playing that character.
And the funny thing about it is we still don't really know what Truth thinks, do we? And no one else does either. And like, you know, all these on the commentary, you can tell Michael Cole and Wade Barrett are just having a blast with this. You know, just is Truth in the Judgment Day? Well, he did win that match against JD, where he would become a member of the Judgment Day if he beat JD, and he did. So, you know, they got mileage out of that. And it's like, well, Truth thinks he's in the Judgment Day, but he's not. Well, he's wearing the T-shirt, and he's added his name on the bottom of the T-shirt by writing his name on a piece of sticky tape that he's stuck on the T-shirt. And it's just like, it's just the gift that keeps on giving. And, you know, Miz... This, you know, led to a match between The Miz and JD McDonagh. And JD has got over, you know, as a result of his interactions with R-Truth. And, like, this is a guy who I thought was totally doomed on the main roster and is doing well. And a lot of that is linked to his comedy with R-Truth. And Miz beat JD here. I mean, fans were into all of this match. In the end... You know, Truth's at ringside. Truth thinks he's in the Judgment Day, you know, but he's pals with the Miz. So we've got, you know, all that confusion there, and it shouldn't work, but it does. And we know this is going to lead to Miz and R-Truth versus Finn Balor and Damian Priest. And that's going to be a big match. I was saying, I think it was last week or the week before, whatever you do, don't put the belts on Miz and R-Truth. And you know what? I'm ready to change my mind on that. I'm ready to do a U-turn, Kenny. I say put the belts on Miz and R-Truth.
I mean, I think if they keep going like this and they keep getting more popular, then it could, they're also playing it really well with the Judgment Day, right? Because Damien kind of finds it funny. JD does not, because he just managed to get in the Judgment Day, and now R-Truth's kind of potentially going to get him out. I think you've got to elevate Miz and R-Truth a fair bit to get them ready for like a WrestleMania match, but I mean, I think it's possible they could do it.
Yeah, I think that's a WrestleMania match. You know, I mean, I hope they can spin it out that far. I hope they'd be able to spin the story out that far. They might not be able to. But I mean, you see, what I would do is I'd book Miz and Truth to win, because at some point, presumably after WrestleMania, Damian Priest is going to cash in the Money in the Bank briefcase. There's going to be a split. We know there is. Rhea Ripley at some point is going to have to turn face. So they're all going to go the separate ways, and every faction has its shelf life, as we know. But I think if Miz and Truth were to beat Balor and Damian Priest, you know, you could actually, before the Judgment Day split, you could even actually have Dominic and JD beat Miz and Truth and become tag team champs. And that would be a really good reward for those two for the good work they've been doing, you know, here with Truth and Miz and in the Judgment Day generally. And then, you know, just have JD and Dom have a short reign and then put the belts on, I don't know, Ciampa and Johnny Gargano maybe. Oh, we should mention, actually, the show opened, or at least in the ring, with actually a really good match between Ciampa and Finn Balor. And Ciampa scored like this shot pin, and fans were totally into the match.
Yeah, it was surprising. I mean, I guess maybe DIY are in line for the next title match against the Judgment Day.
Yeah.
So I guess that could be Elimination Chamber, maybe?
Yeah, possibly.
We need to rejoice, Finn. I think we've seen the end of Cody versus Nakamura, because Cody was able to dispose of him on the episode in a street fight main event. So,
yeah, that's it now. I mean, it was okay, but Cody's been treading water for so long now. And I mean, they even acknowledged that in the match. They just say, that's it. Feud ended. Feud's over. Time for Cody to concentrate on the Royal Rumble now. I mean, they mentioned that on commentary. I thought Nakamura actually looked tremendous in this match. Just the way he moved. I mean, he just moves so well. And he's got so much speed and stamina. And the timing on pretty much everything he did, I thought, was first rate. So, but he's, you know, obviously he's not a top guy anymore. But I thought he did well in the match and put Rhodes over as he should have done.
Yes. But we also got Jinder Mahal coming out to interrupt Seth Rollins. And, I mean, I don't know how we're here, Finn, but Jinder Mahal is going to have a world title match next week on Raw. So can he do it again? You know, he beat Randy Orton in Backlash when none of us thought he would. Could Jinder Mahal be punching his ticket to WrestleMania?
No. Kenny, there's no way this is going to happen. And, I mean, good for Jinder. I mean, he had the segment with Rock last week. He's never been more relevant, I guess. But he's putting Seth Rollins over. I mean, this is going to be a test for Rollins. Can he have an exciting match with Jinder Mahal? I mean, is that possible? We're going to find out next week.
I mean, nobody's been able to do it so far. So unless Triple H was able to do it when they were in India and none of us saw it and he beat him. But I don't think that happened.
No, I don't think that happened either.
I mean, that's kind of all the big stuff from Raw.
I just would like to, you know, give Ludwig Kaiser some credit for getting genuine heat against Kofi Kingston.
Yeah, he did actually. Fair play to him. And we're getting the return of Gunther next week. He's back, so we'll be able to further the storyline between Imperium. So
absolutely. I mean, Giovanni Vinci wasn't there. He was injured last week, as we know, and he wasn't there. And Kaiser, even though he can't stand Vinci, you know, he was out for revenge. He wanted to, you know, settle the score with Kofi. And after they'd fought to a double count out, it's a great spot, you know. And even if you only watch Raw highlights, this is one of the highlights you need to see. And Kaiser picked up a swivel chair at ringside and hurled it into Kofi Kingston's face. I mean, the timing on that was just impeccable. And then all the referees came out and the agents were out trying to separate them as Kaiser's beating the hell out of Kingston. And then Kaiser runs around and nails Kingston again, but he had proper heat. People were proper angry with Kaiser. They were mad. This wasn't like, ha, ha, ha. This was, oh, you know, you bastard. You know, how dare you do this to Kofi Kingston, which is what, you know, that's the reactions heels are supposed to provoke. Well, at least, you know, on occasion anyway. So, yeah, I thought Kaiser did really well here. And, they mentioned that Gunter returns next week. And, maybe he'll slap Kaiser on the back for, you know, defending Imperium's honour in his absence. So, yeah, look forward to seeing, or rather listening to what Gunter says to Kaiser next week.
And then we can hope that this is the year that we get Gunter and Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania.
Yes.
I mean, the thing that kind of makes me more optimistic is I don't really see an obvious other path for Lesnar at WrestleMania. There's nothing really that sounds that exciting, but I think that would be a match that people would be pretty excited about.
Yeah, I would think it's either going to be Gunter or Chad Gable at WrestleMania. You know, based on the Gunter and Chad Gable match last year, where, you know, after which one of Chad's kids was crying at ringside. So, I mean, I thought that, you know, was grounds for a rematch. But Gunter versus Lesnar, that's a WrestleMania match, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I know it's a match that Gunter has wanted for years. And I'm sure it would be his honour to drop the IC title to Brock Lesnar. So, I mean, you know, with a bit of luck, Kenny, and they'll have another, you know, meeting in the Rumble or something. I'm not sure how they're going to set it up, but that's the match. I think we wanted that match last year, didn't we?
Yeah, we wanted it for ages. So fingers crossed, we get it this year.
And they did they did tease it, didn't they, in the Royal Rumble match? They had that confrontation between Gunther and Lesnar. So, you know, please WWE, give it to us this year.
Give us what we want, what we really, really want, as the Spice Girls would say. that's all the time we've got for today, but you can pre-order issue 41 of Inside the Ropes magazine now at insidetheropesmagazine.com. Rock on the cover. Finn has put together that amazing cover. I'm interviewing Eddie Kingston in there. Finn's breaking down The Rock's return. We've got the alternative year-end awards, the editorial awards, the women's ITR 50. There's so much stuff in this first issue of 2024, so we hope that you will continue to, you know, give us a shot and support us. And yeah, that's my evening tonight is proofreading, so we're putting the finishing touches to it, and then it'll go off to the printers, and it'll be out at the end of this month.
Absolutely, yeah. Coverage of World's End in there as well. Yep. So yeah, magazine's on sale January 25th, 2 days before the Royal Rumble.
Yeah, plenty of time to read it all before you watch the Royal Rumble on the Saturday night. So thank you for all your support. Remember, patreon.com/insidetheropes, where you can get more of us or get us with no ads, which is always good. And there's daily content that goes up there as well. So yeah, thank you for listening and for all your support, and we'll talk to you soon.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.